watching on YouTube. Good morning. Yes. All right.
Good morning.
What name do we have?
133.
133. Dr. DeWitt has arrived. That's wondering the next speaker. 133. 133. All right. 133. Wounded for me. Let's say the verse together.
For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Isaiah 53:8.
133.
Military disability pay. Why? I mean, I was not wounded.
Agent Orange, but I'm getting what people are getting, look like have their legs blown off. That just seems wrong somehow. I'm not going to turn it down, but it seems wrong. The preservation is part of his inspiration, and it has made this book the only, the single, the one standard we need for our daily lives.
Yes.
Factor in beyond that even the depth of the subject covered this book, and we must stand amazed at both the conciseness of the message and the output of that message. You know, I recently put out a book on general business, and I bragged a lot that the book went on for over 350,000 words. Seems amazing to me, but consider that every one of those words was based on the message of this one book. That 659-page book of mine covered 8 books of the Library of Scripture. If I were to live long enough, I suppose I could complete the entire scripture in a different way. And I don't know if they make that much paper. Anyway, if you were to look for or any of my books online, look for E.E.D. Wood, rather than Andy Wood. And there's a reason for that. It's a family thing. Really, I did it because I wanted to be R.C. Torrey, R.A. Torrey, C.I. Schofield, M.R. DeHaan, D.A. Waite, and D.L. Cooper, who's not here today, and I miss him. I figured that was the only way I could be included with the Giants of the Faith, if I could move my initials. It's a family thing. My grandfather was Eugene. My father was Elbert Eugene. I'm Edward Elbert. My son is Ethan Edward. His son, my grandson, who I believe when he knew I was talking about a skateboard. Anyway, he is Elijah Ethan. So it's a family thing where the oldest one is always found by his initials. He's the oldest one standing. I remember my dad going out every time my grandfather's school on wearing the E.E.D. Wood on the side of his truck. And now I'm the oldest one still alive, so that's pertains to me. It's sort of strange. I was always taught to respect my elders. Now I can't hardly find it. As to my writing, suffice it to say that God has said it all and much better than I could ever hope to or plan to. His message covers all of human history, even that it hasn't happened yet. Think about that. All of history, even that it hasn't happened yet. I was born in 1946. Supposedly, when I started school, I wrote down, in just a few years, man will be walking on the moon. My teacher would have said, really? What do you think you're doing? And probably plugged it from kindergarten. But think of all that has happened.
Yes.
We could not begin to think that was going to happen. There's been ads on the internet all over. This will be more important than the internet. Well, what could be more important than the internet? I mean, I just can't imagine something that would change our life so much. But there is. In God, history is perfect. He said things were going to happen. They happened.
Right.
I remember sitting in church when I was young, and the preacher read the verse of Revelation about two witnesses. The whole world will see him in 3 days.
Yeah.
And he says, well, see, Jerusalem's an international city, so there'll be representatives for everyone to see him in 3 days. No, we got satellite communications.
Right.
In 3 days, the whole world can see him in 3 seconds now.
Right.
Just to understand who watches it, not have a second hand. So. And he never made a mistake. Now, I have a good word processor, but unfortunately, this thing has no idea how to spell. That shows up sometimes. We were careful to not make any mistake. We were careful for accuracy in that book and the book. The publisher was careful. He was careful to correct mistakes. But I imagine there's still a few in there, maybe more, because I don't know how good I read. Okay, these 400 speakers, and don't forget, I shot low on the number of speakers. If they spoke for just 45 minutes each, that comes up to 18,000. That's got to happen while I'm talking. Okay, I got to break off from my close story. I said I wouldn't go to do it. I'm going. A friend of mine came to me one day and said, my mother died. Can you do it? I said, yeah, sure. Typed out a funeral. I don't want to make any mistakes in funeral. Typed it out word for word. At the end of the graveside service, I took it and handed it to the next attendant. And she said, you didn't know Grace well, did you? That was the moment I realized that I had buried my friend's wife instead of his mother. And it was all very black and white. As the next kid said, oh, Grace would have loved that because it could only happen to her. He asked me if the right guy. But anyway, that happened. These speakers, what did I say, 400? If there were only 400 going for 300 hours, if we extrapolated that out. And we have been talking on the same book every time. And we've never repeated ourselves. And no one wants to repeat me anyway. But, okay. Beyond that, each of us, well, go back a little bit. I got off the track again. How long could a university professor continue to find new and enlightening things to say about the places of Shakespeare without repeating himself? Even on the university, early on, the university professor will establish a syllabus within college and university and continue to just use that same outline over and over and over, year after year, for the next 4 years of his career. And we can tell we've got those syllabus and things are yellow and cracky. Yet every preacher in this room, every preacher, fundamentalist preacher at least, is going to preach three sermons a week for those same 40 years and maybe on beyond. And he never has to stop, or never can stop going through this book and finding new and wonderful things. The book never gets old to those who like the precepts. Well, we're meant here to celebrate the truth of the scripture. And the most important gift, we could receive from God, say that it's Savior. And we wouldn't know about Him if it was the good source. Okay. Now, I need to apologize for a very poor performance tonight at our last meeting. I used the word performance very properly. If I called it preaching, you have me lying to everybody. You might have to figure that out. An old Navy cook once taught me to put a few grains of salt, and this works, 2 grains of salt in a cup of bitter coffee. It takes the bitterness out, makes coffee taste much better. 2 grains, that's important. But suppose I put the entire shaker of salt in that cup, what does that do? Well, that's what I did at the last meeting. I took a dash of salt and over applied the humor to the message, which is why I knew that's an important thing to the church last time, or even to my intended message. Well, I brought a couple. Well, let's bring up later. Okay. Anyway, consider that you've never heard of DBS. Consider you turned into a meeting on the internet and saw what I did at the last meeting. You can basically joke and talk to the people in the audience. I mean, literally talking. Yeah, I remember you driving the internet the other time. Anyway, consider that. As someone who had never heard of DBS, never been to one of the meetings, and he saw what I did last time, and it was terrible, he would say, I appreciate that. But see, I know that. You know, I'm proud of myself. I spent too much joking. Instead of putting 2 grains of salt in the coffee, I dosed the whole shaker in it and then got another one from somebody. Someone who's never heard of DBS saw only that message. They would say, yeah, this is a Bible group? Why do they call themselves that? This is like Saturday Night Live. But you see, what I'm trying to get at is not only did I waste 40 minutes of your time last time I spoke, I also brought disrespect upon the entire organization because I didn't preach or teach or speak or revival. I preached or speak or teach from myself. And that's not good. We are never more important than Scripture. We have serious things to accomplish in these meetings. Humor's not bad. There are times when it's helpful to choose true method. Too much salt in the cup will override the taste of the coffee and cause one not to want the coffee in the cup. And overindulging in humor or something, really anything, brings respect to come true. That's not a good thing. We're not a frivolous. Oh, okay. In a way of apology for last time. I brought 70 or 80 copies of my talk from last time. It's in that box I had with it for OT. And there's nothing I can do to take it. And then I guess come back sometime this afternoon because Pastor Dan wanted me to try to do that message right, so we'll go to the shop. Okay. Okay, we're not a purple corruption ministry. We're serious scholars who have asked for rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
And dividing it means to put things together. It's like continental drift, and I've been talking about that more. Continental drift, look at South America and look at Africa. Are those two working together at one point? Continental drift. And we may divide the scriptures, but we're already in school together in the message that God has given us.
Right.
Which is kind of hard to do if you don't have the right text. Okay, before I get started with this talk, I'll stop joking and hope. I'd like to address a very serious matter that's been on the hearts of many concerning today. Recently, been working in the book of Amos. I was struck by the similarities between the ancient kingdom of Israel at that point and our own nation. Make no mistake, we are not a dumb people of God. We're not going to make that mistake. But we have often made reference to his hand of blessing upon his death. Politicians often use the phrase, God bless America, as though it were some sort of a talisman of good fortune for our nation. In truth of this, we stand desperately in need of his blessings, even as we have gained these blessings for so much of our history. Now, however, if you look at our culture and our politics, we have turned our back on this message of humanity. We have left ourselves adrift from the sure word of the inspired written text of history and have sought after the critical text of man. In the same way that ancient Israel and the Abraham the true and living God is the act of all science. It's also like that. It's the powerful word and the only true God. Just what true God was assured in the prayer of our return to the kingdom of Israel. Does not our own spiritual harlotry deserve and demand the same natural chastisement? I believe it does, and I believe that's the reason that I've never found the understanding of the prophecy. We're just not there.
Right.
Gentlemen and gentle ladies, we need a revival in this nation. Not only we part of the very words of God in our search for a way to reach the lost and then have out of it because of what the Holy Spirit of God. The reason we write it this way, people just trust us. Well, we have not sought the will of God in anything. We have thumbed our noses at the revealed will of God. In matters related to such basic codes of society as marriage and interpersonal relations, we have not sought the will of God. Instead, we have sought the nebulous consensus of love, whatever we define that to mean, and we do not define it as the scripture defines it. The only one is going to say we need a meaningful revival in this nation, and we need to be a real revival. I'm not looking for a serious meeting, but a serious call to prayer and a return to God. Dr. Boyce said something about when God sees, when I get to heaven, God sees me. He's going to say, why didn't you do my, my prayer life is such, when I get to heaven, God's going to look at me and say, haven't we met? I mean, that's a terrible thing to admit to. But we need a serious call to prayer and to return to God of creation. And we can't do this with pious platitudes. It's been all kinds of phrases. But we need to return to God beyond those phrases. We want to invest in honest repentance for our nation's sins and return to God's word, not the word of man, which is not religious, but God's word, and his will for our daily walk. His blessings, the Holy Spirit, our renewed emphasis on winning the lost to salvation, and bringing clear at the cross, and a renewal of our faith as once delivered. Not, we have to redefine Christianity. But the faith of the force delivered. If it's changed, it's not of God, because God's not type of culture. I have some books from the 60s with good deal that were good deal on his voice. Sort of laughing in here now.
Right.
Yeah. The Lord's little band a long time ago stood all alone against the status quo. That was from a song in the 60s. And there's a religious side, a religious view of it. I remind you that if your fellow seeks a loss, it's in Jesus, and we thank you again. All else is simply really dressing for an empty department store. We need to get people saved, but we need to get them grounded in the true faith. After we say it, as a true scripture, as we say, this book talks back to us. Mm-hmm. Are we up to the task? No, we either are, or we need to decide to end up in the history of every time they have it. Nations like Spain, France, Germany, and England were once used mightily in God, but now they're barely able to recite the Lord's Prayer and hearing the truth. I think about the two kids my mom saw playing out behind her yard. She was watching. And then she saw the older boy pour water, a glass of water, all over the younger boy. And then he pushed him into a hole. And she ran outside. What are you doing? What are you doing? Baptizing him? What? Well, the preacher last week baptized those people. He poured water over their head. And he said, enough. And now he goes, now we're baptizing him in the Holy Ghost. So I had to throw him in the hole in the Holy Ghost. Okay, I guess that would not be good. We're not that way about it. When we read the real scriptures, when we read fake scriptures, we can go anywhere.
Right.
God said, but what he really meant.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, with this in mind, I brought a few copies of my commentary on Amos. It's next to the box of this and other way. I went and take them. I tried to remember these are graphs, and I already said I couldn't spell. If you run out and you give me your name and you go, I'll send it to you that way. And you can get better. I know some other ways to do that. Okay, my top feature to speak on the flood of Noah's time. We often seem to forget this is an actual flood.
Right.
It overwhelmed the world as Peter puts it. The world was, then was being overflowed with water perished. We don't have the same world they have back in the
world. Right.
The world we see now is not the same as the pre-flood world. Sin always changes things for the worse.
Yes.
Always. And simple men of the day of Noah changed the good things God had made to make the world a perfect world. Taking this because of the expression of sin. Now, just supposing some of this, but I believe I'm right, I would agree with the secular side that said the world before the flood was one large continent. They call it Pangea. I call it God's word. Anyway, Genesis 1:9 suggests this reality by it. It says if all the waters were taken into one place. Well, if all the waters were taken into one place and so was the land, that would make sense. But some things just make sense whether they appear so or not. When I was in college, I played basketball, ran track, boxed. I was in perfect shape with 150 pounds. And now at 300 pounds, I should be in twice as good shape. It should be working. It's not. The divided language of Babel added credence to this idea. I don't know what the nations of the parables heard by one spot in there. But this is that even pretty close to that humanity. I originally became interested in this subject when I was in high school. There was someone told me there was enough water in the entire world to cover the ground up to 3 inches. I've had trouble with that for a while. It's a bit of a little awkward, but I remember a seminary student from college. He said, you know, there's got to be something that we're missing in this thing in Genesis, because it says that Pharaoh's entire army was destroyed. And if that happened, Israel would have been attacked. Egypt would have been attacked. There's no record in secular history of the power attacks like that. And it took me until the 1980s when we attacked Iraq to understand that. Pharaoh's army, not Egypt's, it was his fellow's guard. It wasn't him. But they could have got some of the people back to the outline at any time. Anyway, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, there's enough water just in Lake Superior to cover all of North and South America in a foot of water. Mm-hmm. And there's no indication that Lake Superior even exists at this time.
Right.
Right. I don't think it did. Further, Crater Lake, okay, in Oregon, it contains six statues of liberty
one on top of another, and they would never come to the, if there were seven below the bottom, they wouldn't come to the top. There's a lot of water in these lakes. And the National Wild River System reminds us that the river just to Idaho is stretched across the entire U.S. 40 times as the lake at the end. I mean, if there's enough water to come to do what God said it's going to do. Was apologized to George Gershwin and Cap Calvin, and I'm sorry to do this. It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. The things that your teacher is loving to preach you, they ain't necessarily so. Okay, I won't do anything ever. By the way, it ain't necessarily so. It applies to your teacher in a liberal college, liberal state teacher. That teaches religion is the God story of ancient man trying to find his way through the universe. But it also applies to a self-described citadel of historic fundamentalism, which teaches that they've had to rush to God's rescue because of his failure to preserve his inspired belief. Yeah. Both are teaching a lack of trust in God. Both are in error in teaching error, and neither deserves a thin diamond support for the Christians. Creating the state institution, we must work to elect sound men and women in our representative democracy. That's something God wants us to do. That's our duty before God. If we had godly men in the world, would we ever have such things as, well, you can't mention God, but you can mention Allah. I put in a lot of our schools. Where was Allah when we had the rebellion from England? Anyway, preachers can mentor the next generation if large schools don't exist. Work for Paul and Timothy. Also, if it's just trusted, the Holy Spirit can do wonders. And beyond this, there are many often smaller issues because they're keeping the right hand from the right hand. And that's where we need to get there. We can't just continue to support institutions that are teaching wrong.
Right.
Because how else would a preacher voice going to be great? So we'll trust in God and train ourselves. It starts in Sunday school. It says what the teacher said, you know, you start to learn. Yesterday, while I was wandering around, I turned on the radio just to see, and it came to a religious station somewhere near here that was playing Christmas music. See? We need to work to find a way to come closer to the blessed Lord. Let's turn it off. We need to get the Bible in the kids' hands as soon as possible and get the Savior into their soul. Because the kids can be saved in the university. As far as schools tell us how we're to do things and how we're to. Oh, we can't trust this, we've got to trust him. The schools can be wrong. No school sets an agenda for the church that's what they're in. That's the task of our Father in heaven. He sets the agenda for the church. Our task is to follow it. The schools should follow the lead of the churches and the churches follow God. How long is the task for today? What were the people today in Noah? How did they prepare their lives? How did they approach the Lord's glory? Luke 17, 26 through 28, on what the story did, or what the society did. As it was in the days of Noah, and by the way, that says Noah is not the indication of the scripture. Translated word for word as it was written. Because if I was translating the New Testament and it said Noah, and I knew Noah and all it was, I would change it to Noah. That's not what was written down. We need to go by God's word. The Greek is not the same. We can call Jesus the Christ. We can call Yeshua Messiah. We don't, because we're talking another language. But we're looking up in here, and that's who he is. Okay. Likewise, also, it was in the day of the Lot. They would eat, they drank, they fought, they built, they planted, they built. This was their manner of life, the pre-flood people. people in life who didn't consider God in the way they were. As to what they were, we just subscribe to something according to the people's generation. And God saw the wickedness of man was great, and the pure imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. The base sin of his people was that they did not believe God, their true evils are relative. And don't we also do that? What that fight is there is going to go. I mean, there's two crosses right here, the road, and I assume it's the memorializing someone who feels direct. But eventually, someone's going to come by that has nothing to do with that family. Doesn't live in that town, probably.
Right.
Take him out, and we're going to try it.
Yeah.
Now, the country has not become irrelevant from God. The country has become the anti-God. Okay. As to the topography of the land, in Genesis 21, 1 to 14, this is the information. There were four rivers, seemingly rising from one
rock
to one
rock.
Source. Yeah, that was the word. Anyway, it flowed to the Garden of Eden. These rivers are names. They know there's no reason to accept rivers that have the same name today.
Right.
Because 2 Peter 3:6 again, for by the world as it was, the universal of water period. There is no uniformity of nature even suggested in the catechism of the 25th. Rivers could have been very early name. Presently, a very early name. Well, there's no necessary that this would happen. There's a real lot of cars and the guy trying to push the speed. Okay, Eden. The Garden of Eden is either here or here. Could be over here. Oh, no, not necessary. The garden is there. God put it there.
Amen.
And the rivers are later. Same name. That's my guess. I'm open to it. So necessary would have happened with the water. There are many we don't know situations to consider. All we do know for certain is that God is omnipotent, and he would have could accomplish and would accomplish his will at any point. I would postulate, therefore, the land was nearly flat with great gently rolling hills, perfect creation of God, including the new alignment. The tectonic place almost condescended dry land for the habitation of God. Would have been in their own parts, even though I don't know who will come. But by the way, if there wasn't one continent at that time, there were no mountains.
Not right.
Mountains from the tectonic plate.
Right.
So, there were no mountains. Or is it just, oh, okay. It's possible there was no rain upon the earth before the flood, as mist is 2.5%, the other water of the earth. It's probable that such a heavy mist would have also created a cosmos for the earth, making Pangea a virtual hothouse in all areas so the crops of the ground would flourish. Stories and systems would have abounded, but the cosmos would have helped the crops to grow. And God is good, even in this
right.
The concept of a cosmos and some heavy mist would also have served to keep what we now have realized to be harmful radiation of the sun. That's often possible, and it's one of the reasons that we go into such extreme behavior by the time period. I've also read that sin and blood is due to our physical self, which we raise hands to the gravity becomes more pronounced as they might become another evil. So I thought, it means months, it doesn't mean years like it means days. Well, if you think about it, months, you have kids, guys having large families by the time you're nine.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The fact suggests that these people may have been advanced above our own situation. Very likely were. They may have been technologically advanced in relation
right.
to our own country. Living that long, doing the same experiments, they may have been well technically advanced in relation to our own country. When we argue, as some have, the pyramids of Egypt seem to date back to before the flood. This is a situation that does bear consideration. I don't understand the whole thing to it, but it makes sense. And from this point, remember, I'm just saying, but I'm also just opposing. Argument comes, would not those 5 mile high waters destroy such things? that might be a problem, but the pure genesis is still clean. It says that 15 feet is upward when the water prevails, and the high hills are where there's no water, no heavy. Using the standard 18 feet, which makes the flood water only 22 to 26 feet high. But the flood event lasts for some time, it will not last for any of the fresh water. And it promises the purpose. 22 to 23 feet is one of the defects of most human beings. I will admit most commentators have posted 22 to 23 feet as being the road to mountains, but I have a good thought and no mountain. I think that's what's fancy also. Consider, however, with the just one continent, we have a very real possibility of continental drift, which is caused by plates that may have been seen. Therefore, the high mountains are not yet in existence, as there's room where they actually can take high plates. I know it sounds fantastic, but consider that the world then was the only form of water perished. We are not looking at a uniform natural process, nor is it on the foot of God of creation, who can use the natural laws as he chooses, as well as he is, he made it. We could access Psalm 92, 91st, and argue for a time before the mountain was formed. But I believe that would be a misuse of scripture. I'm sure that it's even the reason for the exact God. However, if you look at the above, Genesis 7, 19, the word high hills is used. It's buried, there's 20, there's mountains too. Both words are utilized. Is it possible to use the terminology of mountain in concession to the understanding of people in the world of the time? Okay, the question asked me occurred was to how know about all those animals at that time ago. The boat wasn't nice. Until the 1800s, there was never a boat that was a breeding system. 300 cubits long, number of cubits long, 50 cubits wide. The pictures we have seen, and I believe the one in Kentucky, but I'm not sure, not correct. For one thing, the bow didn't taper. It was a square box. The ark was a square box. Not made to go anywhere, but made to wallow in the water. So all the space was usable. And if you look at it, you find 33,750 square feet in the ark. Except you have to triple that because you've got the three layers in there, three decks. Only come up to the ark at 101,250 square feet of deck space. Consider that only the other week would be brought, this would be ample space for all. And as I was typing this, a friend reminded me that all the animals that I've taken on board were only representatives of rock kinds, because rock kinds were taken. You look at kinds, and we have 14 cats previous to us. Well, only because we had four cats, my daughters left a couple over the house, and she brought over crazy cats for us, and we had the litters. All the litters died. I don't know what the mother did. We didn't know what she did. And the other one, I know what she did. She was working, so they got me out beyond her. Well, I haven't had small kids at 2 in the morning. I understand what mother cat. Anyway, all God needed on the ark was a representative sample of phenol, picked by God to contain the recessive genes necessary to produce the liver species. Necessary, but it's possible. A window 1 cubit high was that they were part of the ark. There's no detail given how long this window was. It obviously would be fashioned so that it might be here, even if it would have dealt that water in the storm. Also, many of the species we may not need to be accounted for, because the Bible describes only 23 foot deep water. The bird and insect would not have been unduly harmed by pressure in the water. Amphibians and fish would obviously not have been used to look patches. They could have also survived in the natural habitat. When the fountains of the deep broke up, this caused a movement of the tectonic plates that began after the collapse of the great wheel mountains, and also set in motion to separate the fountains. Materials explains why animals and people were found only in one or a few locations, because the earth divided into different areas, and they weren't. If somebody asked me if I'd ever go to California, I told them no. I'm not going any place for gremlins, but they're not. is a historical reality. Some often these things I used to talk about, it's a lesson in very well. That doesn't lessen the very going on.
Right.
It explains a little bit, I think. In fact, the fact that some of the animals that we described by Moses as clean or kosher isn't a problem either. We may be introduced to this terminology at a later date in Scripture, but if God used the order, it's a big deal. It's only a further example of the interconnectedness of Scripture.
Right.
And they have been made Tenman, who wrote down the words of God, and was only one ultimate author. Breaking up of the fountain of the deep and what was put down in the Italian place of motion, except on my computer where it makes in German. Every time I write tectonic codes, it makes two times. Yeah, that's right. This would have produced massive tidal waves to sweep over the land. The world that then was would have suffered a cataclysmic accident, just as the scriptures described. This goes with this little generation, did perish to a lot of it. A late argument that I've never heard before, at least a veracity philosophic, is the argument there is no DNA trace in the community of humanity back to those families. And we did get to the new population here. But that's probably, consider the hagoros presented in the page of the scripture. Before Noah, A lived and produced B, A died, B lived, produced C, B died. But when you get to Noah, it introduces the whole family. And Noah couldn't have Shem and Jacob. This could have been the first scriptural reference to but it also could have been, you ever watch Bonanza? Little Joe, Hoss, and the guy that left, Bob Kennedy should have. Anyway, Adam, all had different mothers. Is it possible that this happened with Noah? And Adam was born, and his wife died in childbirth. But he didn't know if I could get another wife. But we had time to go my mother. And then Hoss, and then Little Joe. It's a real curveball to throw into the people who are trying to unite the scriptures. And God has a sense of humor and can do that sort of thing. Read about Lot. This is one of the funniest things to me in any literature. And the men worried themselves to find the door. The spirit of blindness. And you can't make up stuff like that. And I would think God may have done that just to throw a curveball into people who need to be anyway. Okay, it's a real possibility. Multiple wives are not an optimal situation, but we're hardly unknown and biblical. We really don't have a definitive answer for that, although the idea that we're going to share DNA going back there, you normally use mitochondria from the mother, so that does sort of make sense. It's enough for us to know that it's happened because God said it happened.
Amen.
I know I'm working on understanding it, but we don't have to understand it. We have to accept that God said it. You ever hear somebody say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it? Well, they're wrong.
Right.
God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. We have no definitive answer to this. We do know all is in the plan of God, and He works in miracles. And God is behind the scenes. It's enough for us to know that that which He has told us is true. To move beyond the revealed work of God, to display a lack of truth, their faith on our part. The search for more knowledge than God has supplied is dangerously close to seeking an impulsive period of only 7 good. Okay. It'll be in the book. Buy the book. Of the all the best. I don't have a copy. Okay.
Thou hast dealt well with thy servant the Lord according to thy word. Teach one good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed that man is the most perfect and faithful man. Before I was afflicted, I was astray, and now I have kept thy word. Thou art good, and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The ground that makes words alive. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep my precepts for my whole heart. Their heart is the fat stone of peace, but I delight in their life. It is good for me that I have been afflicted by my own extension. The law of those that have now is better than me, than thousands of those that have.